This morning's reading is from John 10, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning, Lord, ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday after church, I was taking our dog for a walk, just up the Fockerberg as usual, and I'd taken one of our kids with me, and they asked me on our way, "Daddy, have you ever seen a robber?" I imagine they had a cartoon robber in their mind, you know, the guy with the black and white t-shirt on, a swag bag over their shoulder, black eye mask on. Sadly, they're not always that easy to spot, are they? If you've ever had anything stolen, you want to be able to identify them. When I was a teenager, I had a gathering at my house. I had a bit of cash stolen from my wallet, and I wasn't a victim of a pickpocket. I hadn't left it on a table in a pub. It was just around in my home with friends over, or so I thought. To this day, I don't know who took it. But we want to be able to spot those who seek to do harm, don't we? They're not always easy to spot. We want to spot those who truly do what is best for us. That is exactly what Jesus is saying to us in this passage. That is his take-home message for you and me this morning. Listen to the Good Shepherd. The shepherd who gives his life for yours. Listen to Jesus who gives his life that you might have life. He's continuing what he was saying back in chapter 9. He's speaking to a blind man that he has just healed, given sight to. He literally opened his eyes. And he's speaking to leaders who think they can see, but are actually blind. People who think they know the way to life, but end up leading people away from Jesus. And the question is, who should we listen to? We're going to look at this passage in three sections. First of all, the good shepherd who leads his sheep, verses 1 to 6. Have a look down at chapter 10, verse 1, page 1080, if you've got your Bible. Let's read that together. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." And we know what thieves and robbers do. The pain they cause, the sense of violation they bring. They take what is not theirs. They have no right to take. They break in. They cause damage. They don't go through the door. They don't have a key. Security devices don't recognize him. The alarms go off when they come. They don't give, they take. Instead of hope, they bring despair. Ultimately, instead of life, they bring death. Of course, the proper way, hopefully you figured this out by now, but the proper way to go into your house is through the door. The proper way to enter a sheep pen is through the gate. That is how the shepherd enters. He has the key that fits the lock. His face ID recognizes him. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the door to him. And the sheep hear him too. They recognize him when he calls his sheep here. Our dog isn't the most obedient creature in the world. We could probably do a better job of training him. He barely listens to our children, but he knows my voice. He doesn't know what to do half the time I talk to him. I don't think he speaks German either. I don't know what he speaks. But when I come home and shout hello to the family, without fail, his tail goes wagging and he comes bounding up to me every day, every time, without fail. Look at verse 3. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. My Father has given to me, he says later on in the chapter. He calls, he speaks, and all of his sheep follow him. He knows his sheep. It's like a teacher in a school calling the register each morning. He calls you by name, individually, not collectively. One day when you stand before his throne, on that day when Jesus does come back, it won't be a surprise to him to see you. Sure, humanly speaking, you might get in by the skin of your teeth. Humanly speaking, you might have made some pretty terrible decisions in your life. I'm sure we all have. But from Jesus' perspective, he calls you by name. Chose you before the foundation of the world. Safe, secure, wanted, loved. What an immense privilege. I wonder who you have looked up to in your life. Maybe it's the popular kid at school, maybe it's a professional in your field, maybe it's a celebrity. Someone you looked up to and just wish they knew your name. The Good Shepherd knows your name. There is no one like him. If you're, it's an Old Testament picture. In the Old Testament, God is the shepherd. His people Israel are the sheep. You couldn't meet anyone more powerful than Jesus Christ. You couldn't meet anyone more caring than Jesus. You couldn't meet anyone with more influence than Jesus. Everyone wants to be him. believe it or not. And he knows your name. And he leads his sheep, calls them by name. Verse 4, when he has brought all of his sheep out, he goes before them. When he's called all of them, not some of them, but all of them, not one or two favorites, but all of them. When he's called them all out, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Did you see the order? He's the one at the front. The flock follow behind him. In the Near East, I think this still happens today, I'm told. But certainly in Jesus' day, shepherds would go in front of the flock and the sheep would follow after. Here is the shepherd at the front. Here's the one who goes before you. He's not blindly shouting instructions at you from the back. He's not saying, you know, just a little further, keep going. He's not calling back to you. He's not shouting instructions from the back. He is in front. He is calling back to you. Just a little further. Almost there. Let me help you through this bit because I've got you. Hebrews 2, verse 17. He had to be made like them, fully human in every way, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. I don't know what road you came down to get here, probably Scharnhorststrasse, or at least a little bit. Jesus never actually walked down Scharnhorststrasse, but every metaphorical road you ever walk down, he has gone before you. Maybe you're here this morning and grief is overwhelming you. Later on in John, we see Jesus weeping at the graveside of a friend. He's gone before you, but he wipes away every tear. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by stress this morning. Jesus has gone before you. He sweat drops of blood before he is crucified. Maybe it is need. Jesus hungered. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He thirsted, but he fed thousands. And he said, let anyone come to me and drink. Maybe it is exhaustion. Jesus was tired. He has gone before you. But he's also a rest for the weary and the heavy laden. Maybe you're feeling exploited at the moment. Treated like an item. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. But he is the one who redeems the world with his blood. He goes before the flock. There is not a situation you face or that you will ever face over which he is not Lord. He's gone before you, even through death and into life. He goes before his sheep and he leads his sheep and he calls his sheep to follow him. And they do follow him. He brings them out. They follow him for they know his voice. How do you know if you're one of his sheep? Well, you ask yourself, do you listen to his voice? In the Old Testament, God's people heard the voice of God as he spoke through the law, as he spoke through the prophets that he sent. People listened and showed they listened by obeying his commands. When Jesus came, the sheep heard the voice of God in the person of the Son of Jesus. He called them, like the blind man who saw last week. They listened to his word. They obey his command. Today the shepherd's voice is heard as Jesus speaks through his word, through his spirit to us. That is why we keep the Bible at LEC, right at the center of what we do. Because God the Spirit wrote it. Because in it we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling us to follow him. We don't listen to anyone else. We keep following the Lord's voice. He says, trust me. He never lies. He has gone before you. And do you know where he has gone? It was a very, very long road to the cross. But it didn't stop there because he rose to life immortal, to endless glory and majesty, seated far above all rulers and powers and dominions. And as we enter this Advent season, we remember he will return. The Good Shepherd leads his sheep. Moving on, verses 7 to 10, the Good Shepherd gives life to his sheep. In our hallway at home, we've got quite a few doors, I think it's safe to say. When we first moved in, I never knew if I was going to open the front door or the hallway cupboard. I didn't know if the kitchen door led to my bedroom. Had no idea. I'm glad when people come over, they make the same mistake that I did. I'm not an idiot. Have a look down at verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, there's no question about where you're going to go, which room you're going to end up in. Anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He is the right door to go through. He is the only person we should listen to, the only person we should follow, the only shepherd we need. Why? He gives us two reasons. Now, the first of them is a negative one, and the other is positive. Number one, others are robbers and thieves. All who came before me, verse 8, were thieves and robbers. Jesus wants his listeners to know, and he wants us to know, that it's not an abstract concept. It's not just an idea. It is a reality. All who have gone before me were thieves and robbers. The Old Testament, God frequently speaks of leaders who are corrupt. In Ezekiel 34, he talks about shepherds who only care for themselves, who don't feed the sheep, but get fat themselves. But thieves and robbers aren't restricted to the ancient past. Jesus wants his listeners then and today to know that they are still around. The leaders of Jesus' day have just shown that they aren't seeking the best interests of the sheep, haven't they? If you were here last week, how did they treat the man born blind who Jesus has just healed? They mock him, they insult him, they persecute him. Later on, we see them plot to kill Jesus, but not just Jesus. They also try to kill a man that Jesus has just called out of the grave, Lazarus. Jesus wants us to listen to him. He says we need to listen to him because thieves and robbers come. And their intentions are evil. And sheep find it very difficult to discern what is right. Verse 10, they come to steal and kill and destroy. If you repeat an idea in Israelite culture, if you repeat the idea twice, it means it's emphasized, it's important. If you speak about it three times, it couldn't be any stronger. So we say God is holy, holy, holy. He is the most holy. Thieves come to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus wants us to know the devastating impact that these imposters have. He wants us to listen to him because there are thieves and robbers. Positively, second half of verse 10, the second reason for listening. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. He is the door, he is the gate, the entrance to life, the access to heaven. His people go in and out just as Joshua in the Old Testament led his people of Israel into the promised land. Just as God has always cared for his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, his people. Verse 9, those who go in, who enter by Jesus, will be saved. That is to say, they will have life. They will have eternal life. Life that goes on and on. Life in all its fullness. There is no better life than the life Jesus gives. When he returns and he makes all things new, we've just sung about. It is abundant life, and it isn't just future. It begins now, and it stretches into eternity. That is not to say that all is rosy now. We've just seen that persecution still happens, but one day it will be gone. But it does mean today you and I have the privilege of being adopted as the living children of the living God. Abundant life today means relationship now, that you can call God your Father, knowing that he hears and that he cares for you. It means having the Spirit of the living God living inside you, washed clean, helping you to live for him, changing you from one degree of glory into the next, giving you words to say, bringing profound peace when it looks like you're going to be overwhelmed. The Good Shepherd gives life to his sheep. He feeds his sheep. He provides the most wonderful banquet. And he invites the most unworthy people and tells them to come and sit and eat with him. He says, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters, come and buy wine and milk without cost. And he tells us to come not just as guests, but as his bride. Precious, dearly loved, chosen. The Good Shepherd gives life to his sheep. So listen to him. It is incredible, wonderful provision. No greater promise that you will ever hear. No better gift that he could give. But it is not without cost. Because finally, verses 11 to 21, to do that, the Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 12, when danger comes, the hired hand runs away. They see a wolf on the horizon, and they think, you know what, I'm not paid enough to stay and fight. I don't care about the sheep enough. But Jesus doesn't run. When he sees the wolf coming, he stands firm. He protects his flock. When the going gets tough, he doesn't abandon them. He even lays down his life for his sheep. He repeats it five times. Verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Verse 18, I lay it down of my own accord. Again, verse 18, I have authority to lay it down. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. Jesus' death is no accident. He goes to the cross to die to pay for our sins because he cares for his sheep. If you ever question whether God knows you, God knows the situation you are in, if you ever doubt whether God has got your best interests at heart, we look back to the cross and we say, wow, the Son of God, Lord of eternity, loved me so much that he went to the cross to die for me. He laid down his life for his sheep. He stands up tall in the valley of the shadow of death. He stands before the wolf comes face to face with his enemy, and he fights. On the night before he died in the garden, as he sweat drops of blood, he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Abba, Father," he cries, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." The good shepherd lays down his life that his sheep might have life. Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own. My own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." He doesn't just do it for one or two. Verse 16, he says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold." He has Jewish sheep and Gentile sheep. Hallelujah. That includes me. It includes you, all his people. All who are spiritually descended from Abraham, all who listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. I was speaking with a child yesterday who, during the talk at the Gingerbread House, had invited a friend, and they were saying how they realized their friend didn't believe that Jesus had come to fix our broken home. That was the talk yesterday, and it shocked them, and they found it really hard. But what a joy here for you and I and for this child to know that as we seek to tell others about Jesus this Christmas, Jesus knows his sheep. He calls his sheep. He lays his life down for his sheep. Verse 14, "I know my own. My own know me." There is real security here. So we can tell our friends, we can tell our neighbors, we can invite our colleagues about and call them to come and hear about Jesus, knowing that Jesus will always save those who are his. And on the cross, as he dies in the place of ruined sinners, the one who was and is goodness and light, life, the one who was condemned as a criminal, it looked as though his path ended in death. As his body laid in the tomb, it looks like that is the end of the road for him. The Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. He lays it down. There have been loads of stories about acts of heroism. People giving up their life to save others. I was reading about an Israeli soldier the other week who was involved in the attacks on the 7th of October. He was in a bunker and grenades were being thrown in. He threw seven back out of the bunker. But he didn't manage to throw the last one out and it killed him. His actions, as he laid down his life, saved 12 people who will be grateful to him for the rest of their lives. He gave up his life for others. It is an astonishing act of courage and bravery, but there is always a tragic twinge, isn't there, when we hear about those sorts of things? The soldier's parents who grieve, family and friends who miss him, a life that has so much potential gone, snuffed out, because he can't come back. Because no one else can take up their life again. And Jesus' story doesn't end on a wooden cross, but it ends in the glory of the courts of heaven. Verse 17, "I lay my life down that I may take it up again." Verse 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Who does that? We can't even choose the day we die, let alone the way in which we die. But Jesus has authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. His death, the account of his death that we have in John's Gospel, that we have in all the Gospels, aren't the story of what men did to him, but the story of what he did for them, of what he does for his sheep. He lays his life down that you and I might have life. Not a bit of life, but life to the full. He is the good shepherd who leads his sheep to life by giving his life for us. So often John throws in different responses that people have to Jesus. Verse 20, some say that he has a demon. Why listen to him? He's a madman. What kind of guy would say this sort of nonsense? Verse 21, others keep coming back to that miracle he did. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind? Doesn't make any sense. Their responses are prompts for you and me. He wants us to keep on reflecting on who we think Jesus is. He is the good shepherd who leads his sheep to life. So friends, this week, watch out who you listen to. Watch out for those who force you to choose, will you follow Jesus or will you follow me? There is so much fun in the Advent season and in the run-up to Christmas. We've had some of that here so far. It's been great. We should celebrate because Jesus came to give life and to bring it to the full. Hallelujah. But so much of the stuff at Christmas time and in Advent is geared around telling us that this is all there is, that Jesus won't return, so indulge yourself. Eat, drink, find solace in retail therapy. Go to the markets and have a Glühwein. This will give you life to the full. What a tragedy. Let me ask you, do those shepherds who sell that idea, do they care for you? Or influencers online who have millions of followers who say something controversial just for publicity, or they've got a great tip for making you money. Do they care for you like the Good Shepherd? Take the world's major religions. Do those shepherds who founded them, do they really care for you? What is the marker? Did they give their life for you? Do they give their life for the sheep? Or the culture that tells you to tone down your Christianity. Don't be too radical. Just a bit of church on a Sunday. Christmas and Easter at best. You'll be fine. No need to put Jesus first in your hearts, really. Do they really have your best interests at heart? Do they really care for you? Listen to Jesus. Listen to the Good Shepherd who lays his life down for you. Listen to the one who knows you, who cares for you. Listen to the shepherd who gives his life for you, that you might have life. Listen to the one who rose from the dead, the one who sits at the right hand of God Almighty, the one who will return to bring all his sheep home. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning that we have such a good shepherd who leads us to life, who gave his life for us. Please help us to spot those who would seek to harm us. Instead, help us to listen to the voice of the good shepherd, to follow where he leads us, to know that he always leads to life, even when we can't see it. Please be with us this week, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.